Hello, and welcome back to the Test Drive Podcast, brought to you by Sport Car USA. I'm your host, Lee Baudette. Hello, and welcome back to the Test Drive Podcast, brought to you by Sport Car USA. I'm your host, Lee Baudette. Well, hi, everybody. Welcome to our Test Drive Podcast number 39. It's the kickoff of Season 2. We want to welcome you. I'm Lee Baudette, your host. I've been in radio for over 40 years as a broadcaster. I'm the host of the Test Drive series on the YouTube channel, frontman and host of Sport Car USA. Yes, I've got a long resume here, and a car enthusiast my entire life. That's a rundown on my resume. Scott Nickerson is here from Sport Car USA. Scott, do you even have a bio?
I don't know that I do. I'm just here with you. I'm your sidekick.
No, you do have a bio. You do. Give us a little bit of background of you.
Well, it's been a while. I feel like we could have some people that haven't listened in a while or haven't listened at all. But I'm on the content side of things.
Mm-hmm.
Pushing the record button on these and hanging out with you and behind the camera and all our other stuff.
So. Right. Well, we appreciate all of you listening and watching our podcasts. We really enjoy doing them. We are, a little over 3 years old as far as Sport Car USA goes, right?
Yeah, I'm coming up on my personal three-year anniversary soon. So.
Right. So buying and selling modern muscle cars all over the country is what Sport Car USA is all about. And I think we've sold about $3 million worth so far.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty close and there and beyond. And what's going on now at Sport Car USA is we're gearing up for the spring and summer season here in northern Vermont. So we are actively buying and pursuing muscle cars, meaning modern muscle cars out there.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, being in our garage here, as you can see, we are surrounded by cars, actually. They're just out of camera.
Right.
But we always need more. I think we put up a post today on Facebook saying, you know, if you got a car, if you know someone that has a car, let us know. We're looking to buy just about anything. So.
Yeah. And Sport Car USA recently acquired two Dodge Challengers.
Jailbreak editions.
The jailbreak editions with 0 miles on them. They might have 2 miles on them.
Yeah.
And we're going to get into where we've been recently, which is the Mecum auction in Kissimmee, Florida. But I was thinking that if we had one or both of those cars to go on stage, they would have sold in excess of $120,000, I believe.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they're super cool. And, you know, it's kind of the end of an era with big V8s. So they are the last runs. They've got a little placard on the engine bay, and it's sad. But we saw a lot of big V8s ourselves.
We did. So as I alluded to, we recently got back from the Mecum auction in Kissimmee, Florida. It's the 25th anniversary of Mecum, and we had an absolute blast.
It was a first-time experience for a lot of us in a lot of different ways. I got myself a little pin on the journey.
You did. We'll talk about that, too. That was real interesting. But I think most people out there listening to the podcast, they have what they call the bucket list.
Oh, yeah.
And on my bucket list, I'd never been to a car auction. I mean, a serious car auction. And trust me, this is serious. So that's a check mark off of my bucket list, the Mecum auction, with 4,000 vehicles on display.
Yeah.
Just amazing.
Yeah, and we saw a small fraction of it all,
and
still blown away by everything that we saw. So
yeah, so I was thinking we'd just give our listeners and viewers out there a little rundown as to how this all came about. We've been talking about going to a big auction, whether it's Barrett Jackson or Mecum, for quite some time. Also, the SEMA.
Yeah, I want to go to SEMA.
Definitely
next
still want
year,
to go
hopefully.
There. Want to go there. So we get in the vehicle and we head to Plattsburgh, New York, which is probably the smallest airport in the country or one of them, right?
Yeah, it's not big.
Yeah, it's really not big. We found it rather amusing how the guy that was running the cafeteria also was the guy in the mic saying, it's time to board your plane.
Yeah, he was a utility player.
Yes. I think I saw him out there cleaning the seats of the plane as he was going in, you know, a big rag.
Yeah. He was doing a lot of stuff.
He really was. We got delayed because the stairwell, or not stairwell, but stairs to the plane, they were stuck. So they could not remove the stairs from the plane.
They were like frozen on or something?
Yeah, something like that. And we're all just kind of like sitting there, you know, we're anxiously waiting to get on the plane. And watching what was going on out there, they actually brought a bucket loader over to try to scoop the stairs up and lift them and bring them back so the plane could actually exit.
Yeah, and then they. So this is my, this was my first flight as a
first
preface
ever,
to this story.
Ever on a plane.
So you know, I wasn't really anxious, but I was like, of course it's not going to go smoothly on my first ever attempt. And all you guys are giving me a hard time.
We really were.
Saying the door isn't going to shut. No, it was, you know, it's good. Good fun.
Watch out for that turbulence. Yeah. It gets really bad.
But they finally got the door off, as you said. Or they had to tractor it off the side of the plane.
Yes, they did.
And we finally got on, and it was an earlier morning flight.
Yeah, then they had to back the plane up. And, of course, there's no reverse on a plane, which to this day I can't understand with all the technology we have. Why isn't there a reverse on the plane? It actually has to get pushed back.
Yep.
And then they moved it over to the other terminal.
There's
not
only
terminal,
two.
But actually the gate.
There's only, two gates?
Two gates in this airport.
Yeah,
that's
one
it.
Terminal,
and
two
we
gates.
And we were the only ones there. And this was, what, 8 o'clock in the morning? Or
I think we were closer
later?
To, like, 11 o'clock.
Right.
We got
right.
delayed, so I lost track of time.
Eventually, we did get on the plane.
Yep.
We had our snacks. And away we go. And, Scott, you handled it really well for your first flight ever.
I thought it was fun.
Yeah.
The turbulence.
It
it's a good time.
Bad.
It's like a little roller coaster. No, that was pretty light.
Yeah, and you actually had your camera going.
Yep.
So you're kind of like a little kid in the candy store having a blast.
Yep, we've got that up on our Facebook and our YouTube pages, our little travel highlight of the trip. And, you know, we're all excited to get out of the cold winter of Vermont and head to the slightly warmer winter of Florida.
And really, the winter here in Vermont this year, northern Vermont and actually northern New York, has not been bad at all. We can't complain at all.
It's pretty mild.
One storm where we received 6 to 8 inches. And other than that, it's been pretty mild. But it's been cold.
Yeah, it was cold during that trip.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. So we were used to the colder weather. We go to Florida. And even though it wasn't the best weather, I didn't feel like I had the right to complain.
No.
Like when I came home.
I was in shorts.
And came back to Sport Car USA, everybody's asking you, well, how was the weather? Did you have a good time? And I didn't want to say, well, weather really wasn't good at all because they're here.
Yeah.
In the cold weather. And
there was a winter storm that had come through when we were gone.
Yeah, actually, the day we left, they had to do a full lot movement. If you don't know what one of those is, you might not want to know because
it's not
moving
fun.
Cars for 4 or 5 hours around the lot. So I did not want to say that the weather was horrible. So I kind of skated that question when anybody asked me.
Yep.
Because we were in Florida.
Yeah, it was 40 degrees at night, maybe up to 60 some days.
Yeah.
Rainy, but, you know, it's Florida. You're going to have some rain.
Stayed at a great bed and breakfast, right?
Yeah, we the place we were at, we went and it had all kinds of facilities. There was game rooms and the house was huge.
Eight bedrooms.
Everybody. Yeah.
8 bedrooms with 8 bathrooms.
Everyone had their own bathroom. I've never had that experience.
Yeah, it was crazy.
It's great.
Heated pool, except it didn't work.
Yeah, the guy came to fix it the last night we were there, and then he just vanished into the night.
Yes, this poor guy. Poor guy. But he gave it a good effort, that's for sure. Yep. Had a great time at the bed and breakfast. It was wonderful. Then we went to the auction. We actually went to the auction accidentally. Accidentally, somebody put it in there. We were looking for the bed and breakfast, and somebody put the address to the auction.
Yep. In their
instead
phone.
Instead of the bed and breakfast. So we're driving around, and we go down this long street, and it's like, hey, looks like they're having an auction over here.
We're like, oh, look at all those cars. That's cool.
And then we see the big billboard, Mecum Auction, Kissimmee, Florida.
Wrong turn somewhere.
Wrong turn. So we knew how to get there. That's a good thing.
Yeah, a little preview.
Yeah, so we get there the next day after a nice breakfast, and we had to register. Now, how much does it cost to go to a Mecum Auction? It's about $30 per person.
As a spectator. Yep.
And if you want a 3-day pass, it's going to be $75. So I think that's rather inexpensive.
Yeah, I mean, considering how much they have and all you can see that there's...
$30 a whole day.
Yeah.
Yeah, 12 and under, absolutely free.
Yep.
I was very impressed with that.
You didn't pass for 12 and under this year.
I did not.
No.
I did not. If I went a couple years ago, maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah. So we had to register, and I think we were pre-registered.
Yep.
If you want to be a bidder, then you have to pre-register, but you could do it right there at the auction site.
Yep. And that costs a little extra, of course.
Yeah.
But I think we had a couple of us registered as bidders.
Yeah.
So we were able to get right up in the auction area, and we did a little bit of exploring first.
Yeah, right.
You and I did, at least. I know some of the group went right into the auction block. I think they bought a vintage sign, like, within the first 5 minutes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We mentioned that the weather was not the best in Kissimmee. And what it was a mud pit outside for the most part.
Yeah, some parts of it were not good.
And we're talking thousands of cars, of course, as we alluded to already, but mud everywhere. And I felt so bad for these beautiful cars having to travel through that mud.
Yeah, and well, there's not really much you can do. And, like, shout out to the Mecum team for being able to make those cars presentable as they came across the block. We saw there's like a little back holding area before they get to the actual block.
Right.
You saw them cleaning and polishing and shining everything, and you wouldn't have guessed that those cars were sitting in the mud.
Right, right. I watched the Mecum auction on the Motor Trend Network and FYI all the time. It was just a bit overwhelming to me when I walked into the building, and there it is. It's going on. It starts at 8 a.m. sharp.
Yeah.
And I think it goes to like 8, 9 o'clock at night.
Yeah, we got there for the opening. And they were playing Thunderstruck.
Yes, they were.
And everyone's get there. The people that are on the block that kind of like facilitate the auction process, they're getting everybody hyped up because, you know, they want you to spend and have a good time.
Yeah.
And
everybody's dancing in the aisles.
Yeah. It's cool. They got the lights flashing. Yeah. And
you walk in, you see the big Mecum auction sign, you see where the auctioneers are, and it's like, wow, I've been watching this on TV.
And here,
I am.
Yeah.
And it's okay to walk up to the stage.
Yeah, you could get really close.
They don't care. They're very friendly there.
Yeah.
And I just felt like I was just amazed by the access that they gave us and everybody there, just as spectators.
Well, and all the cars there are for auctions. So you could walk around and look at everything before it even goes across the block, or maybe it already is sold because it's a, 14-day event, basically?
Yeah.
And we were there kind of in the second half of things. But you could walk around and there's cars and get right up to them.
And actually, our general manager, Adam, who's been on one of our podcasts, he knew the founder's son of Mecum.
They went to college together.
Together. And Adam went right up to the stage. He actually crossed the stage, which I don't think he was supposed to do.
I think
the guy's name was Fred. We're up there watching the auction. It's like, hey, isn't that Adam down there? Yeah, I think he's going across the stage.
Yep, there.
And he's shaking hands with the guy he went to college with.
No one tackled him.
Yeah.
I guess it was okay.
Yeah. The founder of Mecum, I think it's either Fred or Frank, excuse me, I should know that. He was out on the grounds. It's almost like a huge fairgrounds. He's just walking around, very casual, and Adam pointed him out to me, and he said, you would never know this guy.
Yeah, I don't think I noticed him.
This guy is like world famous with all these auctions that they do. And the creator, he's just walking around, you know, people say, hi, Adam, hi, how you doing? You know, just
regular
really
guy.
Easy going, regular guy.
Yep. Yeah.
It was great. The auction itself, we did not buy any vehicles for Sport Car USA there, but we did buy some vehicles for our other dealerships that we have here, part of the Handy group. That was fun, too, seeing a car that rolls over or on the block, and then we go out to a field where they park them after.
Yep.
After Adam and whomever bid on them,
yep,
won the bids on four of them. They're all clean as a whistle, of course, because most of them are Southern cars.
Yep, we got to go out and climb in them, take a look at them, look under the hood. We got some pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, I think so. When you see it on TV, I think most people agree, you see a vehicle, let's say it goes for $30,000. It's like, wow, what an unbelievable deal. Look at it. It looks pristine. They aren't all pristine.
No.
They're very nice.
Yep.
But they are going to have some flaws. They are going to have maybe a little ping or a minor dent, some scratches. You can't see that when it's going across the auction block until you get up close.
You got to pre-inspect the stuff you think you're going to bid on.
Yes.
Like even from a crowd, you look at stuff and you can't see that there's like little paint chips or anything.
Right.
Like not everything is museum quality.
Exactly.
They did have some stuff that was like, you know, $20 million and that's not what we were bidding on.
Right.
So, yeah, that's the thing. Like, when it goes across the block on TV, you think everything is perfect and pristine.
Exactly.
And it's not that.
I was a little bit surprised seeing some of the conditions, not of the vehicles that we necessarily purchased, but others that were out there. Because when you see it on TV, it looks like that is pristine. I can't believe it went for $35,000. I just can't believe it. And then I look at my Mustang in the garage, which I think my Mustang in the garage is 66 Mustang. Six cylinder, I think it's worth maybe $35,000. That's what it's insured for with Hagerty.
Mm-hmm.
They always increase the value as everything else has gone up in the world, right?
Right, yeah.
So they've increased my value to about $35,000. Mine's really solid, but we won't get into my Mustang, but I was just thinking, I wonder what my Mustang would would generate for revenue at this auction.
You'll have to take it there.
Yeah, and they have a lot of reserves, and some are no reserves. And
some cars don't sell.
Yeah, exactly. And reserve just means that the buyer wants X amount of dollars for it. If it doesn't reach that plateau, then it's not going to sell.
Yep.
So what they do is they push it aside, and they will put that vehicle at a location where everybody knows where to go, and the buyer, the potential buyer, could still buy that vehicle talking with the owner.
Right. Yeah. It's not completely off the table.
It's not
but
off the table, right.
So maybe you can get it for below reserve if they are desperate and they don't want to take it home.
Right, right. You know? If you chat with the owner.
Yeah.
Yeah. The way it works, it's a well-oiled machine at Mecum. I was amazed at all the different facets of the auction itself. It's not just the cars rolling through the auction block. They have financing all set up and ready for you.
It's like a dealership.
Yeah, I was talking with one of the finance managers from Mecum, and I said, how's this work? She said, well, you know, it's just like a bank. We have a bank or a credit union, I'm not sure which, that we go through. I asked her, what about the age of the vehicles? Because a lot of local banks and credit unions...
Yeah, they won't touch
the
old
stuff. They won't touch loans because it's a 1955 vehicle.
Right.
They have it all set up, and she told me the interest rates, even with today's interest rates going through the roof, around 6%.
That's not bad.
You can go 242 months, she told me. Yeah, it was crazy.
What?
That blew me away. It's like 230, 242 months you can finance one of these great vehicles.
Huh.
That one astounded me. And she quoted me the interest rates. It wasn't bad at all. Kind of like when you register or when you try to insure your classic car or your antique vehicle. A lot of people are amazed how inexpensive it is. Mine's like $230 a year.
Oh.
But I only drive it half a year.
Right.
It's
not a lot of miles.
So I'm not going to drive it, you know, 30,000 miles in a year.
And you're not driving it recklessly usually.
Exactly. You treat it like a baby. That's why the interest rate, that's why the insurance rates are so low on those types of vehicles. A lot of people don't realize that. When I first bought my Mustang, I'm thinking, oh my goodness, insurance is going to be through the roof on this thing. $230 a year.
Can't beat that.
Yeah. Some of the other areas at the Mecum auction, they have a vendor area.
Yep. Yeah, all kinds of stuff. There's
all kinds of cool
vintage
things.
Signs, some weird stuff. There's some weird, like, mannequins.
They had mannequins.
Not my thing.
Presidential candidates of the Beatles. You name it. And they some of them
Richard
look
Petty.
Really,
some of them look really real, and some of them look, like, scary. They're scary.
A little creepy. Yeah. A little creepy. They had all sorts of... They had these, like, pictures on the wall that were actually speakers.
Oh, yeah.
Of pictures of, you name it, maybe a sport car driver.
Yep.
And it plays music through that picture frame.
Yeah, those are cool.
That was really
They're
something.
Like hidden.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They have, of course, they're going to have all the manuals that you're missing, the posters that you're missing.
Random odds and ends. Yeah,
absolutely. So that was fascinating in itself. We mentioned the finance department. They also have other departments like the photography.
Yep.
And we were talking a little bit about all the employees that work at Mecum Auction.
Yep.
How some of them are rentals, if you will, part-time. They live right in Kissimmee or in Florida in general for this particular auction. And others that are full-time.
Right.
They travel all over the country with these auctions.
Yeah, and there's lots of other companies from the outside that come in. We chatted, which is also up on all of our social medias. We interviewed a guy from Radford Racing School, which is, I believe, Arizona.
Arizona.
And they do it, racing school for anyone who wants it, like beginner stuff if you want to just get behind the wheel. And then they have, like, certifying people so that they can actually professionally race. And they were right next to a Dodge exhibit.
Mm-hmm.
And Dodge is all about these kind of shows.
Yeah, they are.
We had a good time.
They're all in.
At the...
We went
the
for
other
the
Dodge exhibit, yeah.
If you haven't seen our YouTube video on our rides in the Chargers and the Challengers,
yeah,
it was unbelievable.
And you could keep going. You could go back again if you wanted.
I was screaming like a little child.
It was so fun.
It really was.
I think that would be fun for us to be able to do, but we still have to sell our cars.
Yes,
so.
Exactly. We bid on four vehicles, went out, checked them out, and then we had to pay for them.
Yep.
So they have an area where you actually... fill out a form, give them the form that they initially gave you, because after you make a bid on a vehicle, they come, you see it on TV with the board. What am I looking at?
Like a binder?
Like a binder, if you will. A binder. You have to sign, okay, yes, I'm going to buy this, blah, 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 blah. Then you go check it out in the field. Then you come, you sit down, and you kind of wait and turn.
Yeah.
Wait and turn until they say, okay.
Just like being at a dealership. Yeah.
And you just go into another room. You finalize everything. Then if you need transportation, which we did, we're in Vermont and they're in Florida.
We almost drove some of them back ourselves.
We were thinking about it, that's for sure. You arrange the transportation and do it all right there.
Yeah, it's basically like you can go there, register as a bidder, and everything throughout the process is taken care of.
They've got it lined up like ducks in a row.
Yeah, and that goes for anything, like signs.
Yeah, we bought some signs.
Yep, and there was a guy in the area with all the signs that would do the shipping for you.
Right.
So you could talk to him, be like, this is the lot I have, arranged to have it shipped up. It's really like you can go there and not leave with a car necessarily, you could, but you can leave and a car will show up wherever you live. And Mecum is right behind it all.
And I got to tell you, I was super excited when I saw the transport company in the enclosed tractor trailer.
Yeah, it's not an open hauler.
No, they showed up with the four vehicles that we bought for our dealerships, not Sport Car USA, but our other dealerships.
Yep.
It was exciting to see them again. After seeing them on the auction block and then there they
are miles away or whatever.
Again. Yeah. That was great.
And you know, we got time to kick back a little bit. And like you mentioned earlier, I think the local areas do benefit from these shows, because we went to just like a local bar and like restaurant for dinner. Right. And, you know, they kind of said the same thing that like during this Mecum auction, it gets really busy in the evenings, like right after the auction. Mm-hmm. And then it dies down a little bit more when they leave. But yeah, I think that's kind of the cool thing is all these locals get probably a lot of them are retirees. They can go work this auction and have a really cool experience. And then, you know, they leave and they go to a new town.
Yeah. Auctioneers, they have 4 to 5 auctioneers. They're on there for the stage about 20 minutes.
They all look like cowboys.
Yeah, they do. Some of them do, absolutely. But 20 minutes, they do their spiel. And that's a lot of work. Like, and 20 minutes, they're done. They rotate another auctioneer in.
Yep.
And next thing you know, we had our favorites. We had our favorite auctioneers.
Yeah.
We had one auctioneer. He talked a little bit like this.
Yeah.
And he would like be auctioning off a car and he would stop the bidding. He would say, "People, you do know what I'm saying here."
Yeah.
"This is a 1996 Camaro with only 3,000 miles.
Right. He'd be like, basically, like, "What are you doing?
What are you doing, people?" And then he'd start up again. And sure enough, he'd get what he was looking for.
And I always thought it was fun when they'd be like, "All right, reserves are off. And the whole everybody claps and cheers that, you know, and then you'd see the bidding going up.
Right.
And we weren't there for it. It's Saturdays and Sundays are the busy days where, like, kind of the big money stuff goes. And I'm pretty sure the big, big money stuff is the last weekend.
Yeah.
And we left just before
big
that.
Yeah.
And there was a couple vehicles that went for tens of millions of dollars. And I believe there was a record set at this auction for Mecum. It was the highest number.
Yeah. Yeah. I was watching on one of those days towards the end of the week when we were home. And one vehicle, I can't even tell you what vehicle it was, is $6
million. Yeah.
Six.
And those
are
museum quality
pieces. Absolutely.
Or part of history or movies.
There's always something to do there. As you leave the actual bidding area, they have tents upon tents of vehicles in those tents where you can get up close and personal. You know, Scott and I, this is as close as we get to those vehicles.
Yeah.
Some of them were
roped off
a little bit.
Yep.
But not many. Not many.
No, it's kind of just the big money stuff.
Right.
And there was, which we didn't get to go into, a separate area, which was, I think, all Ferraris.
Right.
That was kind of the big money stuff that you had to be a bidder in order to get into. And we didn't end up having time to go in there. But everything's just super accessible. I walked right up. There was a DeLorean.
Right.
I got to, like, kind of peer into it. And I think that's the cool thing is, like, when you're watching it on TV, it looks like this, like, a magical thing where these super expensive cars go off and you're like, "Wow, that's cool." But then you go there and you're like, "Oh, I'm standing right next to it."
Right.
Like I'm standing up close, 2 feet away from this $150,000 car.
I mean, you won't be bored for 1 minute.
No.
When you're outside, they have huge TV screens They had it piped all over the fairgrounds. I don't even know if this was called a fairgrounds that we were at, but it was humongous.
Yeah, and you can hear the auction.
You can hear the auction no matter where you are. The Motor Trend Network, the FYI network. You can't miss a thing. 4,000 cars, trucks, SUVs. They had motorcycles there, vintage motorcycles, of course.
Lots of Corvettes.
Lots of Corvettes, vendors there, signs you could buy, all sorts of car and truck and SUV, memorabilia.
Even if you don't buy anything.
Exactly.
It's still a good time.
I got a hat.
Yeah.
See that? That's what I got right there.
Yeah.
And we all have our press passes, if you will.
I kept mine.
Yeah, definitely. No question about it. So it was a great time. Certainly would recommend it to anyone.
Yes.
And I'm sure many people watching this podcast and listening to this podcast, that's on their bucket list. Go to a Mecum Barrett Jackson type auction.
Yep.
My bucket list has just gotten shorter.
Yeah, we'll definitely have to see what Barrett Jackson's all about and kind of see how they differ from each other. Yeah. But a lot of firsts for me on the bucket list. You know, first time flying, of course.
Right.
I got my wings. I got a little pin from our airline.
Because the flight attendant had no idea that you were on your first flight, so we had to let her know.
Made the mistake of mentioning it.
And she gave Scott these little wings. It was so cute.
I got them. They're in my camera bag over there.
Is that right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I talked to the flight attendant. She said, I haven't been home in 2 years, Lee.
It sounds like a fun job.
Yeah, she said, it's great. I get to travel all over the country, the world. And
you live in the sky.
Yeah. She didn't even remember her address. She had to pull it out and say, oh, yeah, oh, that's right. I'm in Arizona. That's right. So,
but yeah, it was a fun time. First time down. Well, I guess I've been to Florida before, but first time flying there. First time going to one of these big auctions, and yeah, it was a blast.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
Thank you, of course, to Adam, our GM, for bringing us down there.
He treated us very well.
Yeah. It's never a bad time when you're.
No, it isn't.
When you're under Adam's wing,
especially when you go to a place where it's two for Tuesdays. We'll just leave it at that.
Yeah. Crown and down.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. We do want to mention before we leave our podcast today that our calendars are out for Sport Car USA.
Yes.
We've shipped out many, many.
Hundreds.
We have hundreds left to deliver as well. So if you are interested in a Sport Car USA calendar for 2024, it's a really cool calendar with great pictures. It's our second edition, second year. Just go to Sport Car USA, right?
Yeah, so you can check us out on Facebook. Send us a message there. Email us with a request for a calendar or anything, info@sportcarusa.com. I'll personally be the one checking that. And, you know, if you have comments on the podcast or would like to come chat with us on the podcast, we're kind of open to anybody coming and hanging out with us. You can reach us on there. And the calendar is free. So reach out and we will just send you one for free.
No charge.
None at all.
And hopefully we'll have some Sport Car USA swag coming up in 2024 as well.
Yeah, we got some cool t-shirt designs coming out for our showcase this year in May. And hopefully I've got a couple others. Got a couple others ready to go too. So hopefully some cool stuff.
All right, Scott Nickerson from Sport Car USA. Want to thank you again for being with us today and being the co-anchor of the show.
Season two.
Underway. We're excited about that. It's going to be a big, big year for Sport Car USA. That is for sure.
Indeed.
Thanks for listening, everybody, to our podcast number 39. I'm Lee Beaudet, your host. Be sure to check out our test drive series on the YouTube channel, and we'll see you next time on our next test drive podcast. And remember, let's never forget the men and women serving this great country of ours. Goodbye, everybody.